I just want you to know that God sees you. He sees you where you are. He sees you where you feel like you lack. He sees you in your pain. He sees you in your situation. Even where you feel invisible, like people don't see you, God sees you. Welcome to Deeply Rooted with me, your host, Sina Zokos. This is a podcast where we discuss and delve deeper into the intimate conversations we all have with our Heavenly Father. Thank you so much for joining us, beloved. Yet another week of Deeply Rooted. We're nearing the end of the year, and this has to be our second last episode of this year, if I'm not mistaken. But we are pushing through, and until then, we are still talking. We're still answering everyday questions through the lens of the Word of God, because that's what we do here at Deeply Rooted. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you're a regular, if you've been here from day one, I appreciate you. We appreciate you as the Deeply Rooted team, and we trust and believe that your life will not be the same again, and it hasn't been the same from the start of this podcast. God has been good. You know, we've had amazing guests. We've spoken about really deep topics that resonated with people. People's lives have been transformed, and we really, really thank God for that. We give Him all the glory and all the honor. And we absolutely, absolutely thank you guys for putting the word out there that Deeply Rooted is a podcast and it's helping people's lives daily. And we also thank the new ones. If you're here for the first time, welcome. Thank you. And we believe that your life will not be the same again after you join in the family. So thank you once again. So today, as I said, I will be talking about the fact that God sees you. You know, sometimes it happens, guys, especially for people who are like me, people like introverts, people who don't really go out as much or are not really as outgoing. You know, most of the time I'm by myself, I'm at my place. If I'm not at work, I'm at church. I do have a community, because it's important for you to be someone, as much as you're introverted, but it's important for you to have fellowship, especially with other believers. It's important for you to have community, you know. But if you're someone who's generally all by herself or himself, sometimes those thoughts may creep in that no one sees you. You know, as much as you may talk to people in your life, your mom, your dad, your friends, your colleagues, but when it comes to deep personal stuff that you go through, sometimes you may feel invisible, or you may feel overlooked. Let's say you're at work and you've been working really hard, but you just feel like no one sees you. You know, no one notices your efforts. Or you've been at church and you've been serving, but you feel like there's no acknowledgement of that. Or you feel like you've been suffering and you've been in a particular situation for a certain amount of time, and you feel like people don't see you. You're unseen. You feel unseen. It happens, guys. It happens. Maybe it for some people, it's not a permanent state of residence for you to feel that way. For some people, it is permanent. And unfortunately, that's where mental health conditions come in, where people suffer with depression, where people suffer with anxiety, because they feel like they are carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders, and there's no one to help them carry that, you know. So it's very, very important to know that you're not alone. A lot of people have gone through it. A lot of people we consider as giants of faith in the Bible have gone through it. But God, every single time when someone felt unseen or overlooked, God always sent them reassurance and assurance that, you know what, I see you. I see you in your struggle. I see you in your pain. I see you in that situation that you feel like you've been in the situation or in this state or in this season for so long. Or you feel like you're unseen, you feel like you're experiencing mental health issues, you know, you're depressed, you're going through this, you're going through that. God just wants you to know that He sees you. That's the word that's been placed in my heart today, and I just like to share it with someone. And I believe that as we are nearing the end of the year, some of us are introspecting, looking back at the year, you know, at whether we've had a successful year, we've achieved the things that we had on our vision board, our New Year resolutions for 2025. A lot of us are looking back to see whether we've, you know, managed to be the people that we hoped to be in 2025. Some of us are looking back and we are proud and we praise God for that. And I'm really proud of each and every one of you guys who achieved things this year. God is good. God is faithful. He keeps his promises and he's a good God. You know, he's a good God. There's a part in the Bible where Jesus says, which of you, when your children asks you for meat, if I'm correct, if your children asks you for meat, but you give them a snake. A good father never does that. A good father gives to his children good gifts. So that's the kind of God that we also have. So even if you're looking back at the year and you feel like nothing happened, or you didn't achieve the goals that you hoped to achieve, or right now the year has been so hectic to you to the point where you're dealing with yourself internally and you're depressed and you feel alone, you feel unseen, this is just a reminder that God sees you. And I want us to look at scriptures and passages in scripture and stories in the Bible, real life stories, because the Bible is real, guys. There's so much, so many pieces of evidence. I think one day I will make an episode where it shows the different pieces of evidence of the truth of the Bible to show that it's not just merely a book with different verses and quotes, but it is alive and active. The book of Hebrews chapter, I think it's chapter 10, if I'm not mistaken, or 12, somewhere there. But the writer says the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. So it's not just a book with papers that are written. You know, it's literally alive and it's active. It's real life experiences that people experienced and that showed that God is alive, you know. So God sees you guys. And I want us to look at different parts of the Bible that shows God as Jehovah El Roy. So Jehovah is God's name in Hebrew, right? And then El Roy means the God who sees me, right? So the first time we were introduced to God in this way is in the book of Genesis chapter 16, right? So what I've realized in my study of the Bible is that we get to know God in different facets, in different areas, in different characteristics of who he is, right? And when that happens, we get to know his character in different phases, on different sides, right? And when you do that, you get to see who God is clearly. You get to experience him as the God that you need him to be at that point. For example, some people experienced God as a provider. You know, some people experienced God as a healer in the Bible. Some people experienced God as a God who sees you when you feel like you're unseen, when you feel alone, when you feel like all hope is gone. But they experienced God as a God who sees them. So when people experienced God in these different facets in the Bible, it shows certain characteristics of who God is and parts of his character and parts of who he is. So if he was able to be God El Roy, the God who sees us, to a particular person in the Bible and to particular people in the Bible, we see a pattern of who he is, a facet and a side of God, which is that he is El Roy. He is a God who's able to see us. So it wasn't only limited to the days of the Bible, to the people who experienced him like that in the Bible, but it also happens to us, people who live this day and who have a relationship with God through Christ, right? So, as I said, guys, excuse me, as I said, the first time we saw Jehovah El Roy, it was in the book of Genesis chapter 16. So to summarize the story, some of us know the story. We know that Sarah and Abraham were an elderly couple. They were hoping to have a child. They wanted to have a child, but they were above childbearing age, both of them, you know, and they got impatient. You know, I remember the wife of Abraham, Sarah, got so impatient to the point where he told Abraham, her husband, to have a baby with their maid, and the maid's name was Hagar, right? And Abraham did that, you know. Abraham did that, and then Hagar conceived, and when she was expecting, when she was pregnant, she was mistreated so badly by Sarah. The same Sarah, guys, who said, go and may and have a child with Abraham, but now she can't take the consequences of her own advice, which is funny. But when they did this, when Hagar conceived, then Sarah started mistreating Hagar. And then Hagar ran away because she couldn't handle the mistreatment and she was in the wilderness. She felt alone. And it was at that moment where an angel of the Lord appeared to her. So the angel of the Lord appeared to her saying that she will have many descendants and everything is going to be okay eventually, right? And then at that moment, she was convinced as well to go back under the subject, okay, not the subjection, but to go back to live in Sarah's house, right? And it was at that moment when she said, Jehovah, you are El Roy, you are God who sees me, because God saw her in that wilderness, in that desert, where she was alone, where she felt abandoned, where she felt like she was running away from an abusive situation, because now she was subjected to abuse from Sarah. So God saw her in that situation where she felt like nobody saw her, where she felt like she ran away from an abusive home in an abusive environment. She went to the wilderness. But it was at that point where God was able to send an angel of the Lord to communicate a message of hope to her that things are going to be okay. She can go back to that house, but her child is going to be a success. Her child is going to be a warrior. There's going to be a nation, you know, that comes and is birthed from, you know, her son. And they're going to have many descendants, you know. So it just showed, that was the first time we saw that God is able to see someone at a point where they feel unseen, because I can just imagine how she felt. She left this home where she was abused and she had nowhere else to go. You know, she was in the wilderness, she was in the desert, and she literally felt abandoned. And on the other side, she's pregnant, you know. So God was able to show up to her in that situation. He was not a God who looked at her and said, you know what, when, now, first of all, you slept with a married man, you were not supposed to do that, and. But God looked at the fact that at that moment, she was in need. She was a woman in need. She was abandoned. She was abused. She was mistreated. So God showed up and was a God who was able to see her in that position. So I also just want to say to someone, if you're listening to this and you're someone who has been mistreated, if you're someone who ran away from a home, or you ran away from a relationship or a situation where you were mistreated, where you were abused, I just want you to know that the same God who saw Hagar in that kind of situation, he also sees you today. He also sees you. He's also calling you to himself. He's calling you to himself to receive comfort, to receive words of encouragement, to receive promises. And he wants to tell you that there is always a brighter future for you. You know, that doesn't have to be the end of your story. As long as you're still alive, as long as you're still breathing, you can still give your life to Christ. You can still turn to your relationship with God, and God can literally work all things together for your good. So that's the first time we saw that God is a God who's able to see someone. And you know what I like about the Bible and how it's structured, and how we see different characteristics of God, is that when we see God as someone who's able to see someone in a dark situation, for example, when we see that for the first time, I like the fact that when it continues, like when the Bible continues, you know, in different chapters and different stories of different people, we see that, like, we see God showing up as a God who's able to see someone, as they were introduced in the first story where we saw him as a God who sees someone. So, for example, as much as we saw for the first time that God was able to show himself to Hagar, a pregnant woman who was abandoned and mistreated, we also saw him in different other stories where he was the same God who was able to see different people in different kind of situations. For example, one of my favorite stories of how God is able to see someone in different misfortunes of life, in different difficulties of life, is the story of Joseph. You know, Joseph, the first Joseph in the book of Genesis, right? A lot of us may know the story, but to just summarize it, Joseph was someone who, he was really loved by his father. He had many brothers. I think he had four brothers, if I'm not mistaken. But he had many brothers, and he was loved by his father. His father loved him so much that he made him a coat of many colors, right? And Joseph had a dream. I mean, he had a gift of interpreting dreams, right? So because he had that kind of a gift, he was able to interpret people's dreams in his family, in his neighborhood. And his brothers got jealous of that. His brothers got jealous of that. And their jealousy was so deep to the point where they threw him in a pit and they sold him off to slavery, right? And then he was sold off to slavery, and can you imagine how painful that situation is, where your own family turns their back on you, you know, turns their backs on you, and they, you know, sell you off for slavery? Literally, in today's terms, that could be equated to your own family selling you off to trafficking, you know, because, I mean, slavery in today's terms can be seen as trafficking, or, I don't know, whatever kind of situation where you are put in a vulnerable state. So that's what his brothers did. They sold him off to slavery. But when he was sold off to slavery, he was bought by a slave master called Potiphar in Egypt, right? And in those days, that was a kind of a normal behavior. You know, slavery ended. Slavery didn't end a long time ago, guys. Slavery probably ended in the 1800s or early 1900s. So slavery was a norm for so many years. So even in those days, it was a norm. So Potiphar bought Joseph as a slave when his brothers threw him into a pit and sold him off, right? And then he received favor, because when Potiphar bought him as a slave, he became the steward of his household. So the steward of Potiphar's household. But then when he was in that household, Potiphar's wife seduced him, and he and the wife accused Joseph, saying that he tried to take advantage of her. And that's when Joseph actually ran off. But then he was captured, and then he was arrested, wrongfully arrested. And he stayed in prison for so many years. But then his gift of being able to interpret dreams helped him, because he interpreted other prisoners' dreams. He also interpreted the king's dreams, and he was sent to the palace, because the king heard that there was a guy who's able to interpret dreams. And when he did this for the king, he was promoted to become the governor of the land. So can you imagine that? From the time where he was his father's favorite son, he got a coat of many colors, his brother sold him off to slavery, he was in Potiphar's house, he was wrongfully accused, wrongfully arrested, and then now he ended up in a palace. He ended up being the governor of the land. And you know how life can be funny sometimes, because being in that position, he also saw that his brothers now, the ones that sold him off to slavery, ended up being under his authority, because he became the governor of even the land that his brothers came from, you know. So that's how God is, you know. God is able to see you in the darkest situations, because when the Bible explains Joseph's story, every time Joseph experiences a painful situation, the Bible says, but God's favor was with Joseph. God's favor was with Joseph, meaning God saw Joseph in those dark moments when his brothers threw him into a pit. God was there. He saw Joseph in the darkest moments when he was in prison, wrongfully arrested. God saw Joseph. And the evidence of the fact that God saw Joseph is the fact that God always took him out of those situations. When he would be in prison, God literally sent him to be a governor. When he was sold off to slavery, he met a guy called Potiphar, who made him a steward of his household. You know, so God, when he sees you, even in Hagar's story that I told before this one, where she ran off into the wilderness, pregnant, carrying a child, when God sees you, he doesn't just see you in your situation and does nothing about it, but he meets you at the point of your need. If it's comfort that you need, if it's provision that you need, whatever it is that you need, God meets you at the point of your need, and you are never ever the same again when God sees you and when God meets you. He always provides what you need. He always makes your story better. So not only does he see you in that kind, in that painful situation, not only does he see you in that betrayal, because Joseph was betrayed to people so close to him, his brothers, you know. So even you, whoever I'm talking to, if you meet someone, for example, and you get betrayed by that person, whether it's a friend, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's your own family, just know that the same God who was able to see Joseph when he was betrayed by his brothers, he also sees you in that betrayal. And he's a God of justice. He's a God who never wastes any pain that we go through. When you bring your pain before him, God is able to turn it around for your good. I mean, for example, there's a verse when everything was said and done, when Joseph was now the governor, and his brothers were actually afraid, and they were saying to him that we were actually afraid that you were going to kill us because we betrayed you and you went through so much pain because of us. In the book of Genesis chapter 50 verse 20, Joseph says, "You guys meant it for evil, but God turned it around for my good." You know, so, and that's a very powerful thing to say after everything had happened to you. So basically, in a nutshell, he's saying, "You guys thought you were harming me. You guys thought you were hurting me, but God meant it for my good." So God doesn't waste any pain that you bring before him, anything that we go through. And we will go through things, guys, unfortunately, because, I mean, even the Bible says, Jesus said in the Bible, in this world, you will experience tribulation. So tribulation is literally something that's not foreign to us. Tribulation is going to happen. We're going to go through painful things because we live in an ugly world that has people who have hearts which are far from God. And when people's hearts are far from God, they literally hurt other people. You know, they cause pain to other people, and it doesn't make it right. It's not right at all. But when we bring that pain to God, God is a God of justice. God never wastes any pain. God is able to turn around the kind of pain that you bring to him into something that benefits you, you know. So there's many stories in the Bible where God showed up as a God who sees people. And one of my favorite one, for example, is also in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. And this is also another powerful one, one of my favorites. It's when Elijah was one of the most powerful prophets in the Bible. God literally used him to perform many miracles. For example, there was a time where I think there was a battle between Elijah, who was serving God, and also other prophets who were serving idols, right? And they had a battle where they were like, Elijah is going to light up a sacrifice, and a fire is going to come, and it's going to go up, and God is going to receive the sacrifice. Because back then in those days, they really believed in sacrifices, right? So the prophets of Baal did this. They tried to start a fire. They prayed to their idols. They prayed to their gods, but nothing happened. They literally did all they could, but the fire was just not coming. And then when it was Elijah's turn, Elijah literally prayed to God, to the God of heaven, and God literally made sure that there was a fire and the sacrifice went up, right? But at that time, as much as Elijah won the battle, so to speak, there was a lady called Jezebel, and Jezebel was basically someone who was very supportive of these other prophets who worshipped idols. So Jezebel was actually mad that Elijah won that battle, and Elijah knew that Jezebel was coming after him. So he ran off into the wilderness as well. And there's a part in the Bible that actually shows that Elijah was human. And it's one of my favorite parts because it shows that no matter how powerful people are, even the people that were really powerful in the Bible were human like us. You know, because when Elijah ran off, when he knew that Jezebel was after him, he is recorded in the Bible, in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19, to be saying to God that, God, I'm no better than my forefathers. Take me so that I die. You know, you could literally tell from the way that he spoke that, you know what, this guy was actually going through the most. He was suicidal. He was literally suicidal, but he probably couldn't bring himself to do it. He couldn't bring himself to end his own life because he was so afraid. He was so terrified. But he asked God that, God, please do it for me. Take me. I don't want to live anymore because I'm no better than my forefathers, you know. And then it was at that moment where God again sent an angel, and the angel was able to make him food. And guys, you know what? I don't actually know how things happened back in those days when it comes to the supernatural. I know that people have experienced the supernatural even to this day. People still experience the supernatural to this day in how they experience miraculous healing. For example, I went to a conference, I think last month, and this girl was telling me that she didn't come to Christ by choice. She was really sick. She had a sickness that couldn't be explained, where like a spirit would come to her close to midnight every single day. But when she came to Christ, when she gave her life to Christ and she received prayers and she received Jesus as a Lord and Savior, that spirit never ever bothered her. That sickness literally left after she tried everything, every avenue. So people have experienced the supernatural. They still experience the supernatural to this day. But I'm just curious as to how people experience the supernatural in the days of the Bible. For example, we are told in the Bible that, you know, a particular person saw an angel of the Lord. For example, even in this story, you know, Elijah was in the state, he was in distress, he was going through the most, he wanted to die, but God sent an angel of the Lord, you know. So I do want to have an episode in future where we speak about the supernatural, about, you know, angels, about all of these things. And it's something I will arrange probably in the new year, but it's something that we definitely have to get into, right? So when Elijah wanted to die and he was suicidal, an angel of the Lord appeared and he saw bread, he saw water, and literally he felt in his spirit and was told that, okay, you know what, eat, drink, and rest. And then after resting, after taking a nap, you have a journey to continue. So then continue afterwards, right? So then Elijah took the bread, he took the water, and then he slept, he took a nap. Afterwards, he continued with his journey. So imagine that. Imagine a guy who saw God show up for him so mightily, But he was in this position now where he was suicidal. He was scared for his life because Jezebel was after him. And he even told God that, God, I don't want to live anymore. You know, I don't want to live. I'm afraid. I'm terrified for my life, you know. So in that position, literally in that position, God was able to see him. God saw him. God gave him God provided food for him. God provided water for him and told him, listen, son, take a nap. You still have a journey ahead of you. So that's another example of God seeing someone in a position where he felt unseen, in a position where he was afraid, in a position where he wanted to die. He was depressed, guys. So even in your mental illness right now, even in your depression where you feel like you so deeply want to die, God sees you. God wants to give you the power to be able to continue to carry on with this life. Life can get so overwhelming, guys. Literally, I know. Life can get so overwhelming. But when we have God, when we give our pain to God, when we give literally our fears to God, our illnesses, our mental illnesses to God, our anxieties to God, God is able to see us the same way he saw Elijah. He's able to see us and show up in that situation. And even if it's a situation that has been going on for so long, guys, for example, there's a woman in the Bible. She's called the woman with the issue of blood. And her story is told in the book of Matthew chapter 9. And this woman, a lot of us have heard about her, and she had an issue of blood for 12 years, guys. So basically, she was on her periods for 12 years. And the girlies know how horrible it is to be on your period just for a week. Imagine for 12 years. And especially in those days, guys, because in those days, you were considered unclean if you were bleeding as a woman, right? You were considered unclean. You were supposed to stay by yourself for a certain period of time. So imagine her for 12 years being in that position. And I just can't imagine how her life was, because I'm sure people were talking about her and people were probably saying stuff about her, mean things about her, that she has a smell, that she's cursed, that she's this, that she's that. And it's not even to say that she was not trying to do anything, you know. It's not that she was not trying. She literally went to places to get help for her condition, but she wasn't getting any help until she heard about Jesus. She heard that there's a man called Jesus and he's been healing people, you know. And this particular day, there was a crowd that was surrounding Jesus and just people wanting to get close to Jesus. And she literally crawled within the crowd, among the crowd, right? And she said to herself by faith, if I touch the hem of Jesus's garment, I believe that I'll be healed, because healing is literally on this man's body. And this lady literally did that, guys. She touched the hem of the robe of Jesus and the blood stopped after 12 years, guys. And Jesus said, guys, who touched me? And you can imagine that there was a crowd around Jesus. There was literally so many people, but he felt a touch of faith. He felt that this person who touched me with faith. It wasn't just an ordinary touch, because Jesus said, I literally felt power leaving my body. So who touched me? And then she came forward and said, it was me. I'm literally sorry, because I know that I'm unclean. I wasn't supposed to touch you. But Jesus was like, lady, I'm so proud of you, my daughter. I'm proud of the faith that you had, that just by touching me, you will receive your healing, you know. And a lot of people, I'm sure, were surprised at how Jesus reacted to the situation. Because, I mean, as we know, in those days, someone who was in their period, someone who was bleeding for that long, was considered unclean. But God literally saw that lady. God was like, you know what? I see you. Whether people think you're unclean, whether people think you're this, whether people think you're that, but because you came to me by faith and you believed that I could help you in your situation, I literally see you and I gave you the healing that you so much desired. You know, so that's another example of God seeing you in a situation that is painful, in a situation where society has given up on you, in a situation where society looks at you as someone who's unclean, who's unworthy, where you've been going through something for so, so long. But God sees you in that situation. As long as you come to him, as long as you trust in him, as long as you bring him the broken pieces of your life and of your tiredness and of your exhaustion, because I can imagine how exhausted this woman was. I'm sure even trying Jesus was her last resort, because she had tried everything. She had tried doctors, she had tried this, she had tried that. But when she met Jesus, the blood literally stopped. So that's another example of God being able to see us, guys. So one thing, if there's anything that you should take away from this episode, is the fact that God sees you. God literally sees you in that situation, in that dark place where you feel alone, where you feel abandoned, where you feel lonely, where you feel afraid, where you want to die, where you feel exhausted, where you feel like you've been in a situation for so long. God sees you. God wants to use that situation for your good. He wants to take you out of that situation. He wants to rescue you. He wants to heal you. He wants to save you. You know, so just bring the broken pieces of your life to God and trust that He wants to do it for you. You know, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." So Jesus is literally our high priest, and we don't have a high priest that doesn't sympathize with us. So God literally sympathizes with us in our situations, in our pain, where we feel unseen, where we feel abandoned, where we feel heavy laden. He literally sees us and He sympathizes with us. He doesn't look at us like, you know what, you're not the only one going through that. He doesn't look at us with a nonchalant attitude. He looks at us with love. He looks at us with empathy, and He wants us to give Him the broken pieces of our life. He wants to mend us. He wants to use everything that was meant to destroy us to our benefit. You know, so He's the best person you can bring your broken pieces to, because He gets it. You know, one thing that we know about Jesus is that He was God in the human form. And when He walked the earth, He literally was tempted in all ways. That's what the scripture says. You know, so Jesus knows betrayal. We know that He was betrayed by Judas. Jesus knows temptation. We know that He was in the wilderness and He was tempted by the enemy. He knows loss. He lost His friend. And there's even a part in the Bible that says that Jesus wept when He heard that His friend had died. He knows anxiety. Before He was sent to the cross, the Bible says that He was crying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He was literally sweating blood. So He knows anxiety. He knows being abandoned. When He was sent to the cross, none of His disciples were close to Him. Even people like Peter denied Him 3 times. So coming to Him, you are coming to someone who knows all of these feelings. He knows being alone. He knows being tempted. He knows hardship. He knows how pain feels like. You know, I literally had a revelation earlier this year, and I usually get really hectic period cramps, guys, but now it's getting better. But I usually am someone who gets hectic period cramps, and I felt like, okay, I thought of the scripture that Jesus knows everything. He literally knows and can relate to our pain because He felt it. But then I said to myself, but God, how can you relate to me, because I'm a woman, and when you walked this earth, you were a man? So how do you know how it feels to bleed so much? And then Jesus literally took me to the cross. He took me to the cross to say, my daughter, I literally bled literally in every part of my body, to the point where water came out, because I literally bled everything out, all the blood out, and there was no blood left in my body. So I know the pain of bleeding. So literally, even physical pain, guys, Jesus knows it. But He overcame because He rose on the 3rd day in victory. So when we bring our pain to Him, we're not bringing it to some superhuman God who literally knows nothing, but we are bringing it to a God who can sympathize with us because He literally experienced all that we experience. So God sees you, and I'm praying for you. I pray that you gather the strength to bring your pain before Him, to bring everything that you're going through before Him, and just trust that you will not be the same. When He sees you, He will not leave you where He found you. He meets you at the point of your need, and He changes your situation. Just like the people that I spoke about, the people in the Bible, even people in our days, a lot of people have testimonies where they were seen by God and they felt like, you know what, God saw me. God sees me in this situation, and I'm not alone. You're also not alone. God sees you. God loves you. God wants to help you. It hurts God that you're going through what you're going through. But when you bring it to Him, trust me, your life will never be the same again. You'll experience the healing. You'll experience the provision. You'll experience the peace. You'll be delivered. You'll be healed. You'll be made whole again, as long as you bring all your broken pieces before God. I'm praying for you. I know that the year is coming to an end. You're not a failure. Shut that voice up. It comes from the enemy. As long as you're a child of God, failure does not exist in your DNA. You're a child of a king. You're literally a child of a God who overcame death, who overcame the world. Jesus said, in this world, you will experience tribulation, but take heart because I have overcome the world. So He has overcome the world and everything that the world comes with. So bring your troubles to Him and have faith that it will never be the same again. I'm praying for you. It will get better. And I love you, and God loves you, and it's all going to be okay. Nothing lasts forever. It's literally going to be okay as long as you bring it before God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Man, we've come to the end of this week's episode. Don't forget to subscribe to Apple Podcasts, to Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts from. And also check us out on Iono as well. And also check out other podcasts under Sowetan Live, under Times Live. There's the SL Cabinet, there's Taking Rams by the Horns, there's so many more others. So check those out as well. Until next time, you are loved, you are treasured, you're precious in your Heavenly Father's sight. God bless.